This is Friday, November 2nd from 12 to 1, Block by Block Artists in Residence being presented by Beth Grossman.
And I came from Brisbane, California, which is a little town just outside of San Francisco. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm really honored that with all the things that you could have chose to be at, that you landed here, and I know that you're going to really feel that you're in the right place, because this idea of Block by Block Artists in Residence, from all the experience that I've had in sharing it, it feels like it's an idea whose time has come. And I want to start by also acknowledging Amy Walsh in for a second to say hello. So a couple of years ago, Amy had this idea, and she was telling me about it, and I just said, yeah, that sounds perfect, let's do it. And we had this idea that we were going to create this Artists in Residence program that would like be where each artist would self-declare their intention to create their own artist in residence on their block, in the center of their life, in their studio, in their home, and be a visible presence in their community as an artist, doing whatever they do. And we just like went, yeah, let's do it. And I decided to run with it. And it has been going really successfully in my community of Brisbane, California, which has 4,000 people and a lot of artists for 2 years now. And it was kind of a natural outgrowth for two other projects that I've been doing as in our town. I've kind of become the self-appointed artist liaison between the artists and our city council, and have lobbied them for some 20 years about why it's so important for there to be a vibrant cultural atmosphere where artists are really supported and are an important part of the fabric of our community, and that it, in the kinds of terms that they understand, like the economy, real estate values, business, those kinds of things, that it's super important for schools, for attracting people to our town, for creating a sense of identity of who we are. And I got them 17 years ago to sponsor what I call the Brisbane Artist Evening of Sharing. And so it's been going on every year, and I put together a kind of showcase, which, so you can understand the format, it's like a talent show, but it's like really super produced and really high quality. And I don't curate it, it's first come, first serve, but it's always amazing. And people really bring their best self, and our community all waits for when it's going to happen. So from there, I already had sort of gotten a bunch of, I got to know a lot of the artists, and then I started saying, well, hey, we're doing this for the community, but let's do it for ourselves. So what it entails is once a month, we all get together, and we take turns hosting it at our homes and our studios. And basically, the host, you know, provides, you know, morning coffee and maybe some nibbles and stuff. Because food is really important to bring people together. And I organize and lead it. And I also, the idea is to have assistants and other people that are supporting me. And I create in each of our houses. We have a 2-hour gathering, and it's quite formal. And everyone gets 5 minutes to share their work, share what they're working on, or talk about what they're struggling with, or imagine or envision a new project that they'd like to do and just needed to be able to put words to it out loud. And the idea is that everyone else in the group, because we're on a timer, they don't interject, they don't ask questions, they don't interrupt. We're giving each other the gift, the sacred time to really just be with our own thoughts, but speaking out loud to a group of people that really are there to completely support and love you. And I also always put out that anyone who has hung on to creating a creative life as an artist of any kind, it's a challenge. We deserve this kind of love and support and admiration. And, you know, we're heroes. And I want to just keep it going. And I also put out my idea, because I don't have like a sort of, I'm not a curator, I'm like anyone who wants, I don't want to address who's an artist, who's not an artist, you know, art world stuff and all that. And a lot of people really come in feeling with the imposter syndrome, am I really an artist and all that, and I'm like, okay, we're not even going to go there. If you want to if you want to lead a creative life, however that looks, you're welcome here. And if you want to put that intention into the center of your life, you're welcome here, and we're all going to support that. And then I talk about my sinister master plan, which is to live in a world where everybody is doing that. And it does tend to really attract people who are really doing some kind of creative work. It doesn't mean necessarily that that's how they make their living at it. I don't find that to be important. I've been working as a full-time artist now for over 25 years, and I will not call it a living. And I also always like to put that out to people that, you know, I struggled in the beginning. Everybody, we all find our different ways that we can support ourselves. And making a living by it is not part of the definition about if you're a real artist or not. So now that we have all that out of the way, hi, welcome.
Yes. You wanted to make sure you talk about this.
Yeah. So I've been doing this really solidly in my own community for 2 years, and this is the first time I'm bringing it out into this world, and I'm really honored to be able to share that with you. And one thing that I have really found, because I do a lot of international work, I have had the honor of doing artist in residencies where have applied or I've been asked or whatever, but I also realize that it's really a luxury to be able to like leave my home or potentially a job, my family or whatever, and that when I go out in the world, I'm also not really having a lot of my support system. I'm just sort of, you know, I'm in Germany or I'm in China or whatever, and I really feel that support system that I have in my hometown of people that are cheering me on and know where I struggle and can also celebrate with me when I have really amazing things happen in my work, that is my base. And so I'm offering you guys the opportunity to create that base where you are, starting in your own home studio and then sharing that process, sharing the trials and tribulations, sharing the celebrations of it all with people that are close to you in your community. The other idea with Block by Block, it's, you know, it's the name, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be, you know, every block represented. There can be 5 artists on a block, or it could, you define the community as it works for you. If you want to collect other artists who are doing, you know, community engagement work, or you just want to get to know all the artists that live in your little block, you'd be surprised how many people there are. And I mean, even down to like one time I ended up in one of my neighbor's house and I found out there were these two elderly women that had crocheted and covered every single thing in their house with crochet because they like, and I was like, oh my God, you guys are artists. This is like an installation. And it's like their passion. So ultimately, that's what we're doing. We're sharing our passion. So this is my first time sharing it with this group, but as I said, I think this idea has come to a place where the world is really looking for it. I met somebody who ran an art center in Norway. I happen to speak Norwegian, and he invited me to come, and we sort of conspired to use this project as a way to bring the immigrant community in Norway and the Norwegians together in this art center. So I'm going there in June to spend a month going to meet the immigrant artists and bring them in to do the block by block. And from there, this is also all about relationships. Everything I've ever done, I'm going to share with you, I have applied to lots of things and I rarely get them. But I've had an amazing art career and lots of experiences, and it's all been through relationships that I've made. So this one's totally unreal. I was teaching in Helsinki in a grad program in participatory performance, and I had brought a Sami woman from Norway to come and share the joiking experience with my class, which is a traditional singing that they do. And we've stayed in touch over the years, and since I'm going to be in Norway, she invited me to come up and do block by block with the Sami people up there. And not only that, get this, we're going to do it in a lava, which is a Sami teepee with a fire and all that. So so this is like starting to grow, and I want to really like give you all a chance to taste and try it. Was there anything else that I need to talk about before?
I just thought, I don't think we talked about this, but I thought it would be useful to say, you know, I think Beth and I both, and I've heard from you, you know, as the person who's really been running with this idea so far, that it's not, there isn't like a central set of, you know, there isn't like a central brand or organization. Like it's grassroots. So, you know, the way I conceive of the Block by Block that I'm getting ready to start might look a little different based on who I am, based on my work, my community, what people around me want. So it's just something, I think the basic process that that's gonna bring is a really useful one to keep, you know, to create a good sound container for a process, but then this is customizable and it's an experiment and it's not anyone's like intellectual property. It's just something for us to grow and mess with and see what develops.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that, so that segues perfectly into explaining, so what are we gonna do when we get in our groups? Okay. So every group has a facilitator, and the job of the facilitator or a leader, is to basically hold the space, and it's very formal, so we always start out by introducing ourselves, and because it's Block by Block, we say one brief sort of sentence about what, how we want to describe our creative work, and then we say, and I live on this here point block of 700 and that kind of thing, so like people can really like place people geographically where they live, so, and I keep that super short, and also people have really now learned that the time we have is really sacred, and we want to like have as much time as we can to do the art sharing part. So then the facilitator counts the number of people in the group, and then we determine how much time we have, and I usually have our meetings 2 hours. This is a real quickie, and we'll get a chance to taste it. And then, so in our my situation, we usually have at least 5 minutes in this one. We may, well, we'll look at the time, maybe four. And during that time, you basically get to use the time however you want, and nobody's going to interrupt you, and everybody that's in the group is going to give your undivided, admirational, you go, you can do this, you got this, I'm behind you, energy at them without saying that, okay? And you will be surprised what you think when you have that kind of attention coming back at you, because usually it's so hard, you have to get it all in so fast, you don't like that. But no, take your time. And for some people, the 4 or 5 minutes is just gonna be like, oh my God, is this ever gonna end? And if that happens to you, don't say, I'm gonna give my time up. No, this is your time, and you get to like wait for the muse to come, because the muse comes when people are in action. And you know, or it might not, or it might hit you later when you realize, oh yeah, I didn't know what to say, but now I know. So just take the time, and you can even go like, I don't know what to say anymore, I don't have anything to say. And then of course when the timer goes off, you'll be like, oh, and then. So take the full time, and other people is gonna be like, oh my God, I thought I would never get this done. And the other thing is that, you know, relationships develop in this group, and some people get together and just give each other that attention on their own separately. And for a little information, I've been doing this with another artist in LA using Skype for 10 years, every morning for 20 minutes. Honest to God, we wake up, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm having my coffee, and I'm going, all right, what am I today? What do I want to say to the world today? What's my vision? What's on top? What's going on in the world or in my life that I need to just like get out of there so that I can really focus on what's really important? And I'm telling you, it's amazing what happens when you really, it's a practice that we're doing. And it's a really simple one. It's just listening, no advice. The other thing is that anything that anyone says in the group is 100% confidential. That means it's happened in your group together. It's sacred. It's not to be discussed with each other even. Like, oh God, did you hear that Beth just said she wanted to be president of the United States? Or like when I put out my largest vision, like just wanted to try it and see what what it would feel like, you know, or how's that campaign going, Beth? And you're like at an opening or somebody's, some curator standing next to you. And it's like, it can get really awkward fast. So it just keeps it really simpler and cleaner if it's just like, if it happened in that moment, we all experienced it, we're all supporting it. Even if it was really hard, it's also just a chance for that person to kind of share it where it's hard. I'll give a really quick example that was super interesting. We have this one woman who's a watercolorist, and she does like amazing, like perfect, they're almost like realist. And she spent her 5 minutes giving a critique of everything that didn't work in the painting. And we're all just kind of going like, really, but she just needed to share that because that was what was going on in her head, you know? And we all just loved her up so much to like, you know, just by, and not saying anything, just really loving and being so just, wow, you know, that's so beautiful. And I think she left feeling completely different about her work, or at least was, at the very least, aware of the voices that really weren't hers and weren't her own fault. So that's what we do for each other, yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt, but just so I can follow how you're presenting this.
Yeah.
So you're mentioning her, you know, her piece and how she was critiquing. Did she have her piece? Or
yeah.
Was she talking about it?
She showed it.
Okay. I didn't know if she was referencing it or she had it.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. So people can also use their time to, like, try out a new song that they just wrote or try out a poem that they just wrote. So people bring their guitars or their instruments. People bring their writings. They bring their drawings. Or some people come to the meetings like with paintings, like big paintings. Look what I just finished. And they just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when we were little kids, it's like, look, Mom, look what I did. And then they go, oh, it's a house. And it's like, no, it's a beetle, Mom. Can't you see that? And so we all kind of have a lot of stuff from when we were little about our creativity and trying to get other people to get excited about it. And this is just one of those times that no one's going to say, it's a house. Okay? We're just going to be like, it is what it is, and we love you that you're doing this. Okay? Did I forget anything else?
I think so.
Okay, so let's try. What's the time?
12:15.
Awesome.
Yes. So we're only listening, no questions or feedback. At the end, do we have discussion or not?
No, because it gets messy.
Okay.
Okay? That's when people start to... So it's really focused. So you're going to start out by just saying your name. I would love to have everyone, but I didn't want to take the time because you're going to get to know a smaller group of people in your small group. And you say your name, you know, where you're based geographically, and like a one or two sentence try out, what does it feel like to say what you do in the world creatively? Okay, and I have a lot of feelings about this. I've been doing this for so long, and every time I meet somebody, I'm like, don't ask me what I do. So it just gives me a chance to practice different ways, and no one's going to hold it to me. Okay, sometimes I just say, you know, I'm a mom, and I love being creative, you know, and just see how that feels and see what a lot of the reactions that we get, we're anticipating, you know, rather than what's really going on. And so... you get to try out different identities. let's see. So starting out with your introductions, and we keep it really super brief, and then we'll divide up. I think we have, how many, you guys, who's leaving? 1, 2, 3, 4. And I guess maybe I can just float around maybe the groups. Does that sound good? So four groups, how many are we? Let's see.
So about 22.
Thank you. Oh, okay, 22. So then we have four groups, five or six.
Two groups of four.
Five or six in a group. Okay, and if we did 4 minutes each, and then we can come back and we can have some questions and we can talk about, you know, if anybody's interested in starting this in your community, and you might, once you have experience doing it. Okay, yeah?
Do facilitators do it as well?
Yes!
Okay.
Yes. So, and that's the other thing that I want to say. When I decided to lead this, the one thing that I made a commitment to the person who I do this listening time with every morning was, I am not doing this if it's not for me. Okay? This is to support me. This is to have a community around me that knows me, knows where I struggle, wants to celebrate when I have something great. So it's got to be for you, and also that you would be well assisted too. And that we can maybe talk a little more about that after. But let's try it. And I'm gonna assume that all of you are gonna assist your leaders by really following along with them the process. And one other thing I'm gonna say. Don't sit there worrying about what you're going to say while other people are talking. All right, you're going to, you can plan it out all you want, and it's not going to happen. Because when you get each other's attention, it's just going to be like, oh my God. And really, leaders, make sure that everyone really gets to settle into noticing, that you don't just have to go on and talk and talk, that you settle in and go oh my God, I have all these people around me, and they're really listening. Okay, so that's one thing. Just enjoy the gift of being able to sit and listen, and there's no advice or fixing. So you're sitting there with the gift of being able to just sit there and enjoy this person without having to fix anything or go home with an assignment. All right, so yes.
Hey Beth, could you repeat what the facilitators need to do? I've been thinking about what I'm gonna say.
Oh, okay. And then you won't be in the same group of whoever you came in with, too. So count to four. So one,
two,
and remember your number.
Four.
One,
mm-hmm.
two, three, four.
One, two, three, four.
One, two,
three,
four.
One.
Oh, you're leaving. Okay.
I'll take the ones.
Okay. And then take your chairs. And
I want threes.
Okay. And take your chairs. I will stay away from that area back there because you won't hear yourself. So that's why.
The ones spread out. Automatically, I wanted to take notes and then check my notes, which I did when you were talking, and then I wanted to give feedback. I wanted to be like, uh-huh, 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 hmm. And so I had to, do that.
Good.
I would say synchronous. There, because we couldn't give feedback, I just had to keep all of the, connections inward, but very synchronous. Very, very simple.
Good. Yeah, so what I do when I notice that I have this burning question I want to ask somebody, whoever, it's usually not about the person, it's about myself. So it's just note to self, ding. And also, it's not necessary to write it down, because it's all part of this big soup that's being cooked. And, if you don't deal with it now, you'll deal with it later. It'll come up again, It's just, and if you just start, when it starts to keep coming up, then you go oh, man. That's interesting. So it's interesting how listening to somebody else ultimately becomes a window into yourself. So, yeah, any other, how was it that you listened to like that?
I think it was really inspiring to hear what other people were doing.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed is just how beautiful everyone was when they were really shining and showing their passion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say it's just a nice reminder of how much can be expressed and felt without words and form put to it exactly. I think, we really value that in this world, feedback and critique and all of that, especially in the art world. Because I feel like I totally did get feedback just from being seen and witnessed really fully, which, I think is sometimes not so common.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. So how was it? Did you? Can I
go ahead?
How was it to be listened to that way?
Oh, I guess I could.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I found it deeply uncomfortable. I think, I was like, is this therapy? Is this art? Is this something else? And I think as somebody who has spent a lot of time in social movement, social justice oriented campaign organizing, et cetera, et cetera, that we're sort of taught this, your work and your person is in service of a larger vision. And so I think I find myself constantly trying to hold that and not forget who I am in the process, and how to also be in service of myself and my own liberation in that process. So it was helpful to work through some of that.
Great points. I don't know. What's it like to be listened to that way?
I found it very nourishing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just very nourishing, and like that quality of like being beheld, like when you behold mm-hmm. something, and it's kind of this hands-off way to really, yeah, be in fullness, and that's really nice. Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to come back to one other question about leading, but go ahead and ask me yours.
Our group had a question about ways of modifying this, and so mm-hmm. I wanted you to speak to that.
To modify it?
Yeah, how do you take it? do you do it with the same group all the time? Do you go out into the world and facilitate this in many other places and then allow people to modify it in their ways? And so just more information about the practice and how it can shift.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that it's the kind of thing that depends on who you're working with, what the situation is, but I would say that I use this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I just went out canvassing for 3 weeks every single day, and because we have a big environmental measure on our ballot right now. And so the one thing that I really found is that when I was talking to people, I was like, hi, I'm here to talk about JJ. I'm wondering if you know about, do you have any questions? And then I just shut my mouth and I just listened, because I could go on telling them about it's an environmental disaster and we're all going to die and all that, and they're going to still vote with their heart, and they're going to. I was going by this idea of it's a quote from Maya Angelou, it's not what you say or what you do, it's about how you make people feel, and really being able to listen to people like this and let them find their own answers is going to leave them feeling good about the interaction that they had with you. And so I feel like I got more votes in my favor by just listening to people than telling them all the horrible things that were going to happen if they didn't vote my way. Does that make sense? And you can, that's just one example. You can use this in any of the work that you're doing in the world. And it doesn't, and the thing that's kind of cool about working in the small groups with a core group of people, and my group isn't closed. I feel like, you know, I live in a small community, so it's closed to people that live in my community. But I always try to keep it really open. But I don't like people coming and going and have to start all over that much. But after 2 years, it's kind of like this core group of 12, 15 people that come when they can. And I also have a sense that they all really look forward to it. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
The listening is the core of it. And then you adapt it how you want to adapt. Yeah.
How often do you do it? And is it at a regular time that people know they can just kind of drop in as needed?
You can set it up however you want. I travel a lot for my work and my family life. And so I just kind of at the meeting near the end, I say, hey, this is my schedule. How many people can make it on this day? And when we have a sort of a quorum, we just set the day. And then we have a Facebook page, which some people tune into, but I send out an email to everyone. And then I live in a small town, so sometimes in the beginning especially, it's important that you might need to call people to remind them, or, you know, run into them, or, you know, that kind of thing. Because the other thing to be remembering is that people have a lot of resistance about getting together. And also a lot of resistance about calling themselves an artist or any of that. So, and it has nothing to do with you or them or anything. It's just when they get there, they're so happy they're there. But getting them there is a little bit of a challenge. And then eventually you get a core group of people around you, and they're there. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this your main practice as being an artist in residence?
So I have an art practice where I actually make objects, but at 60 years old I started to look at my space in my studio and realized that I just didn't have any more space for objects, and that I thought to myself, what do I really, really want with my art practice? And I realized it was the connections, the conversations, and all of that. So in a sense, I have to say that in the last couple of years, this has really become my art. I still do other projects and everything like that, or things that sort of morph from this. And I organize the art sharing evening that I mentioned in the beginning every year for the city of Brisbane. and they pay me to do it. I started out doing it for free, and then I went, wait a minute, this is a huge job. And then they gave it to the city manager's assistant, and then she went, this is taking over my life. And I said, okay, someone want it, you're going to have to pay. And so yeah, and now it not only does it pay me, but it pays lighting person, sound person, all of, you know, it's and a caterer, and also a tech crew and all of that. So yeah, and it's really great. And it's usually standing room only at this point. It's been 17 years. So about 150 people come every year.
Wow.
And they dress up. In California, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Beth, you're at 1 p.m. soon.
We're at 1 p.m.?
Yep,
okay.
Soon.
Okay, so I just want to say, do you have a question?
I just want to say something quickly. You know, that question, is this the main practice that you do? I think it can look, you know, if you were the artist in residence of your neighborhood, you could decide if this, you know, if this, in addition to this, would there be other things that you would do? So it doesn't have to look exactly like how Beth does it, or it could look, you know, just putting that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's the other thing. I could decide that I want to have, you know, wine and cheese on the end of my driveway every first Friday and really interact with my neighborhood. Or, you know, I mean, it's like real, that's the thing that's cool. It's your residency. You're in charge of designing how you wanted to do it. And I also always said that I didn't want this to become my art. And so, but in the moment, like while I was just kind of getting it going, you know, and then I've been doing all this other political organizing, for this couple of years it sort of has. But it's all a big process. And, you know, I've got a long creative life that behind me and ahead of me, and so do all of you. So, let me just say that we have a lunch thing where we can go and use our tickets at a warehouse after this. And if anybody is interested in sort of talking more about if you want to try to get it started in your community, we can talk more informally at the lunch. So please find me, and I'll just, and Amy will be there, and Jupong, will you be there also? Any of the leaders, if you want to be there, and we can just kind of think. The other sort of vision that I have is that we are going to like infiltrate the whole country with these block by block groups going on and keeping people going. And then I also would really want to have a sort of a network of the people who are leading them so we can start connecting, you know. And like already my group is going like, can we Skype with the people in Cartagena up in the Arctic Circle? I'm like, hell yeah. So, you know, that's the thing with technology. We can stay in touch. So come find me at lunch. I'm here to answer any of the questions that didn't get answered here, and yes.
One last thing, can you say something in Norwegian, like, just speak it? I've never heard that. When you said that, I was really interested.
Yeah, okay, so the reason why I got this great job was because the very first thing that I learned in Norwegian was, vi pleier ikke å gjøre det her, and that means, we don't usually do that here.